You are listening to PodFi, the crypto podcast, brought to you from BSC News, bringing you the latest crypto, blockchain, and Web3 news. Here's your host, Tom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to PodFi. What you're about to hear is a recent space that we did with the GameFi project called Big Time. They are accessible on their website, bigtime.gg, and the focus of this space is sustainability. As you are probably aware, historically, well, maybe around a year ago or so, the popular thing to do in GameFi games, many of them play to earn, was to have a dual token system, whereby one token perhaps was the main issuance token, the main governance token that they used to have, the tradable token, and then another one would be the reward token. And perhaps the word tradable that I just used then isn't the correct, you know, term to use, because the reward token would also a lot of times be tradable. However, the reward token would probably use an inflationary model, and the other token would be deflationary. However, the reward token being inflationary and given out as rewards in game, people then just used to dump it on exchanges for fiat or a stable token, and you know, quite rightly so. It's completely up to them what they'd like to do with it, and the price of the reward token would just go down and down and down, and people would lose interest in the game a lot of the time as well. The game perhaps wouldn't actually be that fun to play. The main reason people would be playing it is because it was play to earn, and when you're not actually earning from it because the reward token is so such a low value, you know, what's the point? A good example of this is Pegaxi. Obviously, their main token was PGX, and the reward token, Viz, or Vigorous, went down a lot. And there are many, many reasons for this. They're still going. Cory, I think the project lead, is still very active on Twitter. The project's still very active. However, their user base is a lot less. A project that has done this, though, that has been reasonably successful, very, very successful, is Axie Infinity. Obviously, their AXS token is down a lot from its all-time high, but a lot of projects are at the moment. However, Big Time, who this podcast or Twitter Spaces was about, they take a very, very different approach to sustainability. They're more, to an extent, of a Web 2 game with Web 3 factors or Web 3 features within their game. What they do is, very unique and rather interesting. Anyway, that's what you're about to hear. So enjoy, grab a coffee, tea, whatever it is, a biscuit. Here comes the Twitter space with BSC News and Big Time.
I think we're probably ready to start. The time has obviously gone past 3 p.m. UTC. We can expect more people to join. As I said, you know, it's being recorded as well. Big Time, are you ready to rock and roll?
I was born ready.
Great to hear. I was born ready as well. That's brilliant. Good. Would we be able to just begin by perhaps, you know, you introducing yourself and just an overview of Big Time?
I would be happy to. I am the guild manager with Big Time, and Big Time is a very simply, it's a video game. It is a multiplayer action RPG. Think of it as a blend between World of Warcraft and Diablo. You roam this overworld, you drop into these portals, which lead you to an area where you can engage in active combat inside of Big Time. And when you go through those portals into the dungeons, you can solo them, you can have up to six people, and occasionally NFTs drop as cosmetic skins as you're playing through.
Amazing. Fantastic. And for those of you that have played as well, you'll be able to sort of know exactly what we're talking about. The landscape, so the open world main map that you can play in, is huge. There's a lot to explore. Sort of dotted throughout the landscape, there are sort of various portals which you can go in either. I often do it as a solo. Or just find randomers on the platform whilst I'm playing. People I don't know that I'll just sort of type to in the text. And play with them. I'm not very high level compared to some of the players on there. You get equipment drops, which are great. And then you can pimp out your character a lot. It reminds me a little bit of the game Destiny, in a way. You know, you get different weapons, armor upgrades that gradually sort of, you know, level up, and your character sort of looks better and better and performs better and better. As you progress through the game. In my opinion as well, Big Time, you know, you are very different to sort of what's on offer at the moment, or the vast majority of what's on offer at the moment within the sort of GameFi space. Would you describe yourself as a crypto game, or you know, a GameFi game, a Web3 game, or would you describe yourself more as a, you know, a traditional Web2 game that has features of Web3 technology integrated?
It's a great distinction. I would say the latter. There is absolutely blockchain involved, and there absolutely is you know, cryptocurrency that will be involved and NFTs and all of that, but you don't need it to play the game. And I think that's why we fall into that latter category that you just mentioned. It's a free-to-play game. It's always going to be that way. And the NFTs inside of it don't give you a competitive advantage. They're purely cosmetic. And I think because of that, we feel and look a little bit more like kind of a traditional game, which is by design. We also think it's going to help us a lot with kind of transitioning in Web2 gamers over from those games that are coming out of Epic or Rockstar and move them more into like the Web3 space. It's a little bit more palatable. It's a little bit easier to get into the game than perhaps something that we saw coming out in 2020 or 2021.
Most definitely, yeah. I do think, well, when I'm playing it, it does feel like I'm just playing, you know, a standard Web2 game. You know, I don't constantly have to go back to a browser, sign a signature with my ledger. Obviously, there's a little bit of setting up to do at the beginning, but you know, you have things like which we'll talk about later on as well, such as credit card integration, sort of buying assets and land. Like that, which we will get onto. So apologies if I've made any, yes, sort of small errors there. And at the moment, sort of in the gaming sphere, on Steam, just as an example, it's quite hard or very, very rare to find a game that has Web3 integration. I think that there's ones like My Neighbor Alice, but they've taken that down now. Also, another one called, it's not Rust, it's a cowboy game. I think it's by, I can't remember exactly who it's by, but yeah, a lot of the games on there that have Web3 integration aren't being supported by Steam anymore. But also Epic Games, they seem to be sort of for, to an extent, Web3 and crypto. I think the games Star Atlas and also Blankos Block Party as well are, you know, released with them. But there's still sort of a big divide between, you know, Web2 gamers and then Web3 gamers. What do you think is separating Web2 and Web3 gamers at the moment? Because they do seem to be, or in my opinion, what I've seen, obviously you might have completely different thoughts and perspective, but they do seem to be sort of in two different bubbles. And why is that, do you think, at the moment?
There's a lot to break down there. I'll start, I think, with the last question. I think the overwhelming reason that there's this kind of bubble between Web3 and Web2 gamers is that the quality of Web3 games, for the most part, is not that high. It's pretty low. And I think there's some great stuff kind of on the horizon coming out, Big Time included. But it's not nearly at the level of something you would see like that could really compare with something, for example, GTA 5 or Valorant or even Fortnite to a certain extent. There's some fantastically beautiful and immersive games that are coming out, but they're not out there yet. And especially when you kind of look at what dominated the narrative of Web3 games over the last couple years, it was much more simplistic. The focus was more on earning and kind of being able to scale that. And the thing is a lot of that earning level, $4 or $5 an hour, goes pretty far in many parts of the world, but that's not the main reason why people in other places play video games. They, for the most part, do it out of a sense of enjoyment, and they're trying to get something out of it that way, as opposed to have it be a you know, the main way they make income.
Most definitely, yeah. I think there's, you know, a handful of crypto games that I genuinely play for, one Big Time being one, and yeah, the ones that I mentioned earlier, I occasionally dip into for fun as well. Other ones, a lot of them, mostly sort of, you know, around maybe releasing a year ago or so, seem to be sort of, you know, well, sort of farming, but, or DeFi farming, yield farming, just with extra clicks and a nice user interface. So it seems as though, yeah, a lot of them didn't really concentrate on, well, yeah, the quality of the game. And it's good to see that, you know, quality games are now starting to come through. And yeah, I followed Big Time for, well, a long time now. Yeah, I remember as soon as I was able to get on with my Ruby Pass, I did, and enjoyed it ever since. One of the things as well is the sort of revenue streams and the income streams that sort of a Web2 or a traditional gaming studio might have in comparison to more of a Web3 gaming studio. So and what I mean by that is, you know, a Web2 game might, you know, release a game, get a lot of sales, you know, initially, but then still sort of have that revenue stream ongoing, might be, you know, by selling the game itself or selling, you know, in-game items, and pretty much all of that money will go straight to the developers or the studio for them to sort of, you know, continue developing. But in crypto games, GameFi, Web3, that sort of thing, a lot of the time, you know, they might have an initial sale of land or characters, NFTs, a token sale, which they'll get a big sort of cash injection, and then they'll sort of need to manage their funds over quite a lot of time. And some projects don't seem to manage that too well. And do you think that's a factor as well, perhaps, why, you know, there's a lot of Web3 games out there that, you know, they say, you know, we're doing everything on Unreal 5. It's going to be basically a AAA game to rival GTA 5. But realistically, you know, they've got 3 years of development and an initial cash sum. And that's basically it. Do you think that's a factor as well, you know, that they perhaps, I don't know, can't manage their cash as well?
I agree. There was a strong temptation, I think, in Web3 and the kind of overwhelming success of things like Axie Infinity to just pump out a game as kind of as quickly as possible. And there are platforms that can make it relatively easy to do that in 6 to 9 months for a mobile game. If you had a pre-built, if you use like pre-built things, so something like Unity, you can use kind of like a month to make a character, or you could spend a couple hundred or $1,000 and buy a pre-made character that's kind of already on the Unity store. And so those games needed a lot of fundraising to kind of do things faster. So they either did it through kind of the traditional VC fundraising rounds, that those types of things, or they did a token sale or an NFT sale, and they then proceeded to use those funds to kind of carry themselves through or bootstrap them through their development and then onboarding of the game. But as games kind of did that at the mid or latter part of 2021, they basically would have been finishing their games right around the time the bear market was starting. So there just wasn't a lot of demand for those games anymore. So they just kind of faded away, or they assembled some teams of people who had some relatively rudimentary understanding of blockchain programming, or perhaps little to no kind of gaming experience. And then they realize, wow, it's actually a lot harder to make a game than we were expecting. And you can kind of get a minimum viable product out pretty quickly, but to make it something that people want to play on a consistent basis takes a long time. And just generally speaking, for somebody to kind of really sink their teeth into a game long term, that game probably took a minimum of 3 years to make. And that's with a team of about 50 people. So that's a lot longer than I think a lot of people initially thought. And then, you know, we had the kind of downturn. So that's why you see a lot of those games raised with tokens and then they've kind of gone by the wayside. So we went for a little bit of a different model. We did our kind of initial fundraising in 2020. And then we did a Series A in 2021, about 14 months ago or so. And we've just kind of like focused a little bit more on the development, but we also had a little bit more of a, I think, realistic understanding of how long it would take to come to market with the game. 3 years was about what we knew how long it was going to take.
That's good. Yeah. And what I do like about Big Time as well, that the sort of, I'm not sure how best to describe it, but the way that you can move throughout the world is very clean, very smooth, and it feels polished. A lot of, well, not a lot, because I don't really know that many, but first-person crypto games that are in a sort of pre-release or beta stage, you know, you can walk around a map perhaps, but it feels very janky. But Big Time is completely opposite of that. It feels, I know it's, you know, not finished yet, but it does feel like a, you know, pretty much finished project, you know, well, finished product. Sorry, you know, you can, that the player controls are spot on, you know, that the movement is wonderful, and it plays very, very well, very solidly, which is good. And another thing, with a lot of Web3 games. I know I sort of use that term a lot, yeah, recently, is that I don't, for a lot of them, I don't really see a need for Web3 integration. It seems as though, you know, they make a game and think, well, you know, let's just smash on some Web3 features on the side, just because, you know, that's the thing to do. Or, you know, they just have an idea that let's make a Web3 game, and, you know, the in-game currency will be a token. But there's no real point of it being a Web3 game. It could just be a Web2 game, and it would be a lot less stressful for everyone. Obviously, you know, the devs and the founders might get a little bit of, well, less money, but a lot of Web3 or crypto integrated games, there just doesn't seem to be a need for that Web3 integration. But I think there's a lot of Web2 games that really could have Web3 integration. An example that I often use is on Steam, trading cards. You know, you get them from playing a game, and then you can trade with other people on the Steam marketplace and things. Those could be NFTs as opposed to tied to your Steam user account, or, you know, CSGO skins. And, you know, skins on any game, really, for example. So there's a lot of features of Web3 that could be integrated into Web2 games, but then there's a lot of, you know, games that call themselves crypto games, Web3 games, that don't really seem to need to have that, the crypto technology integrated into it. Would you be able to tell us sort of how Web3 is integrated into Big Time?
It's interesting that you mentioned so many of those games that you said were perhaps not that great, probably made themselves slightly worse by having blockchain in there. I had a similar experience when I was playing some of them. I was like, I really felt like the player was supposed to be a part of that smart contract that was like executing itself, where it was like, oh, I kind of do this very simplistic and repetitive motion, and then I get some sort of reward at the end. And it just didn't need to be like that. It's almost so simple to say, overly simple, yet somehow it was revolutionary or countercultural at the time to say it was like, we're going to make a fun first game. I would argue that the lack of ownership over your in-game items is probably the biggest problem facing Web2 gamers. The same way you just mentioned, like CSGO skins or Fortnite skins for a lot of people out there right now, especially parents who are like, man, I spend hundreds or thousands of dollars on this stuff and can't do anything with it afterwards. It's just kind of a sunk cost, and the game really owns it, and it's siloed within that. But if you could pretty easily imagine if those things were on a blockchain, or there was kind of a more vibrant secondhand marketplace, you could transact those things a lot more easily. But for a variety of reasons, the studios have gone against that and very tightly control that. So I think the ownership issue is something that Big Time and other games are trying to very directly address and solve that pain point for users. And then conversely, the biggest pain point I would argue for Web3 gamers is the low quality gameplay that was out there. They, for the most part, were not very enjoyable experiences. So you had to make a good game there. Web2 gamers aren't going to really compromise on that if you're going to pull them off of something that they're getting on Steam right now. You got to give them the ownership too. So I think it's kind of a unique offering of capabilities for gamers in the future. But that's kind of where Big Time is oriented.
Fantastic. Yeah. And again, yeah, I do agree with you a lot. A lot of the games, yeah, I've spent a lot of time. So I do like exploring new games, crypto games, basically every single one that I can try, as long as I don't need to spend, you know, a load of money to get in. You know, $5 here and there is okay. But if it's basically free, I definitely will have a go. And a lot of them, that perhaps aren't even around now, aren't that great. But yeah, there are quite a few, including Big Time, that I'm honestly really, really impressed with. And what I like about Big Time as well, I know it doesn't sound like a big thing, but, you know, it saves your progress. Because a lot of sort of simple, not saying that Big Time is simple anyway, but a lot of Web3 games or simple Web3 games, you'll come back to it and essentially it'll be like a battle game and you'll start from zero or fresh again. But Big Time, you know, you can come back to your character, you know, you're level 5 when you quit, you're level 5 when you log back in, which is just like, you know, a normal game, which is, yeah, what everyone enjoys. A lot of people, though, a lot of, you know, communities, sort of Web2 communities, or non-crypto specific communities rather, are sort of anti-crypto, it seems. I'll see sometimes on Reddit, you know, a person mention NFTs, and then, you know, other people reply like, no, if this happens, I'm leaving, you know, and they get very, very defensive, and they seem to be very, very anti crypto. And obviously there could be quite a few reasons for this, but in your opinion, why could this be? And also, have you seen that sort of thing as well? Perhaps, you know, there are Web2 communities that just don't want anything to do with crypto.
I mean, painfully, yes. That's like a huge part of what I do, is like try and find those communities and talk with them and figure out why. It's some of it is just a pure messaging standpoint, where they hear the term NFT or digital collectible or blockchain, there's just a straight up aversion to it, and they're like, I want nothing to do with this, regardless of whatever the game can offer or whatever it looks like or whatever it can do. Which is unfortunate, because if I found by talking with those communities, especially on places like Reddit or in Discord, everything you kind of mention about the ownership of blockchain or NFTs, of putting those items that they're already grinding for inside the game and giving them more ownership of it, they're all about it. They're like, yep, I wish I could resell these cosmetics. I wish I could make my own. I wish I could forge my own. I wish I could move them across games or different platforms. And then as soon as you say the word, okay, well, what if they were an NFT? They're like, oh, no, never mind. I don't want anything to do with any of that. And that's unfortunate, because it's like the kind of foundational part of what it can do for them, they're positive about. But now there's kind of so much negative sentiment around it that they don't like it. And so there's kind of a rebranding or re-messaging of the way we put things together, which I think the rest of the kind of Web3 gaming community and development studios are struggling through right now.
And sort of as you know, a core member of Big Time that, you know, speaks to these communities and things, what how do you perhaps, you know, get them around to the idea that, you know, crypto is, you know, a lot of the time very useful and can be very beneficial to not only just games but just in general? Have you sort of, you know, got any, I don't know, stories of maybe, you know, where you've converted people, or, you know, what are your strategies about, you know, going to these, you know, very defensive communities that are just not really wanting anything to do with NFTs and Web3 integration in gaming?
I think the best way to do it is from the kind of first principles of what does this technology try and do for you? Okay. Do you like the ability to own things? Do you want to be able to transact it? Well, you can do that inside of Big Time. And we kind of developed this hybrid system where, while the assets are inside the game, they exist off-chain. And even while they're on the marketplace, they're kind of off-chain in a custodial wallet type system. You don't need a wallet or crypto to get involved with it. But as I kind of walk them through that way, a lot of times, like, people will be like, okay, I'm into it. And then you don't even need to say the NFT or the blockchain part of it to get people involved. It's not misleading really, kind of, in any way, because it's like, or do you just want to try out a video game? Here it is. For other people, really depending on kind of what their background is in the audience I'm chatting to, if I say like, okay, well, all that stuff is because it's an NFT, oftentimes the response I hear is, oh, wow, I didn't realize that's what an NFT is or what it could do. I thought it was a picture of a monkey, or I thought it was a scam, or is just a JPEG that I could just screenshot. It's like, oh no, they can be a lot more than that. They can give a lot more value to it. I mean, because some of it is, it's like a lack of understanding. They kind of get the mainstream media highlights of what they think kind of blockchain is about, and it's kind of incumbent on us as the actual makers of this stuff to explain, well, no, this is what it can actually do, and this is what it can be. I found that if you can get that far and explain things, then you're doing pretty well.
Indeed, yeah. And yeah, what you said sort of about the mainstream media, pretty much, well, 90% of all the stuff at the moment that we hear about crypto is not good. For example, yeah, the recent FTX fiasco. And yeah, I can understand as well, people just thinking that, I know I laughed there, but, you know, it's understandable. People just think, you know, NFTs are a picture of a pixelated monkey or a pixelated guy smoking a cigar or something. Because, yeah, essentially that's what has been well, pushed, you know, on mainstream media. I think it's very interesting indeed. And also on your bigtime.gg as well as openloot.com, you can purchase assets with a credit card as well, which is arguably a way to onboard individuals that aren't too savvy with MetaMask or blockchain technology. They can just pay with a credit card like they do on Steam or Epic or something. Have you found this beneficial, and are many people sort of using this method to sort of buy armor or weapons or items in game, or do you find mostly it's people that want to sort of stick to the traditional MetaMask blockchain way as opposed to use their credit card?
I'm sorry, that kind of broke up there. What was that?
So I was talking about the credit card integration that you have, where people can buy assets just using a credit card, as opposed to, say, MetaMask and tokens and things. Have you found this popular, and have you found this perhaps a good way for traditional Web2 gamers to get onboarded into a crypto integrated game like Big Time?
I do, yeah. I wish I had the stats kind of available of what percent come from of our deposits come from either a cryptocurrency or a credit card or a bank transfer. It is significant, and the user interface feels a little bit more like what you mentioned before with CS:GO. That's by design. We think this is something that's a little bit less of a leap of faith for a new person into it. And when they kind of get involved, we don't want them to go through that initial kind of laborious process where of setting up a MetaMask and then connecting cryptocurrency and depositing all that. It's pretty rough. It's kind of unpleasant for a lot of people to do, especially if you have to go through all those steps just to play a game you may not actually end up liking. So I do think the credit card thing is good. It a lot of that was built on our partnership and relationship with Circle, who kind of makes all of that possible. And it's been a positive experience. And then there's more games that we're onboarding through Open Loot Studios that's sharing a similar vision. I think a lot of people are generally, or a lot of games are trying to move in a direction of make it easier to get new users in and to take advantage of that kind of blockchain accessibility, rather than making it more complex that perhaps only a small minority of people will ever use to its full capability.
Yeah, most definitely. It is still, you do need to be quite sort of tech savvy to use a Web3 or blockchain wallet and look online and sort of research how to do it. Because we've all been very, very used to traditional finance, traditional ways of paying for things. So then suddenly having to install this little Chrome extension that then somehow you send tokens somewhere, and what happens to them? They don't appear as a picture, and you need to go on a blockchain explorer. It can be a bit long-winded and quite daunting for new users. And with Big Time, obviously you use the Pocket Watch system as well. Would you be able to tell us about the Pocket Watch in Big Time, and also sort of how NFTs work within Big Time? Can you transfer them to a non-custodial wallet, and how do assets work or items work within Big Time?
Yeah, so we separated our characters, or really anything that gives you an in-game competitive advantage from the NFT or blockchain component. So your character class, you have a character, and that's just a half-naked person kind of running around. And then you can become a character class, and there are four right now. So you have a tank, you have a healer, you have the melee, and then you kind of have the long-range guy as well. You can get any one of those four character classes, and then you can get all four and have them all at the same time. And then you basically just swap between the four and have to level each one up independently. Those separate character classes are tied to an item called the Pocket Watch, and they drop in the game. You can go find them. But you level them up independently, and part of the idea here is you're not kind of committed to a character class forever as soon as you start the game. And it constantly forces advanced players to interact with new players, so they have to kind of go through that re-leveling up process. So kind of a healthier ecosystem in the long run. That's separate from the blockchain component. So the NFTs, while they're inside the game, are ostensibly off-chain. They're scarce. There's a set quantity of them, of each type of cosmetic, or like a sword or a chess piece. And then when you find those items, you can use them on your character, or you can post them to the marketplace. While they're in the marketplace, it's like it looks kind of similar to OpenSea for people who are familiar with that. And you can search for different types of items in there, and then they're listed from a floor price. Part of what Big Time will do in the future is, if you want to move items outside of the game to like something like OpenSea or another marketplace, you mint those items onto a chain. You then transfer them over to whatever that marketplace is or into your wallet, and then you can post them in the other marketplace. Then when you bring them back into the game, it burns that NFT, and then you can use it inside the ecosystem. So that's how a lot of the in-game transactions are able to happen without gas fees, is that they're off-chain in that manner.
Fantastic, thank you. And this is, you know, a little bit, you know, specific about Big Time now. I've seen that, you know, eventually on your website, it says that, you know, you'll be able to, you know, design your own space. And I think, so BSC News has the NFT project, BSC News NFT, and within that we have a sort of gaming guild as well. Obviously, gaming guilds have changed a lot in the last couple of years. They, you know, a year ago, they'd all be about, you know, getting reward tokens, sort of splitting them with scholars, and then the scholars do what they want with them, which is completely understandable. But now, yeah, they're changing a lot, perhaps more into esports and just more fun gaming, perhaps. And as sort of a gaming guild, we've got a number of spaces, one of them being an Exalted large space, which, yeah, I'm looking forward to be able to use as well. Would you be able to tell us what people with spaces and what we'll be able to do with spaces eventually within Big Time? Is it going to be sort of maybe like the Sandbox has, where, you know, creators can make their own sort of mini world, mostly maybe based around parkour, or is it going to be you know, something different? What will we be able to do with the spaces? Because I know, yeah, you released an article about that recently as well.
So spaces are land NFT for people who are not as familiar with it. Aesthetically, it looks like a room in a house or a castle. And then it's modular, so if you have multiple space, you can connect them together and really kind of make it as big as you want. So that's the foundation. Inside of that space, or attached to the outside of it, I should say, you can connect these utility NFTs. They're called a Time Warden, a Forge, or an Armory. The Time Warden allows you to collect the in-game token as loot. It's kind of the only way you can collect that in-game token. And then the Forges and Armories are ways for you to actually make your own weapons or cosmetic items. So how does that forging and upgrading process work? Okay, well, you get these things called time crystals, which can either be dropped in game or you can get them from USDC from the marketplace. You put them into the Time Warden. The Time Warden, it starts a countdown timer for about 7 to 14 days, where as you play the game, you can pick up the token as loot. That token is the main ingredient that you put into your forge or armory to eventually make your own NFTs. So that process of upgrading actually takes a little bit of time as well. And so as you roam the game, there's like an ingredients list of items that go together. So like, let's say, for example, you want to make a green sword. Well, sometimes you may need some lower rarity NFTs. You combine them together, plus those other in-game resources that you find from grinding the game. And then out pops the kind of rarer version of that item. The lower rarity items that you use as part of that upgrade process go back out into the total supply, and then out the final product can be a verifiably scarce, more rare item. Overall, we're going to do it based on seasons, where on a 90-day period, there's kind of a race to create this one-of-one cosmetic skin, where, you know, over that three-month period, it's only one-of-one a unique item that's going to be able to look like that. So that's broadly speaking how the upgrade and the economy version works.
Very interesting. No, I think it's, yeah, very exciting Indeed. And obviously, you're very involved in guilds as well at Big Time. How are guilds going to work within Big Time? And what, I don't know, what is their income model? I'm not sure if that's perhaps the right phrase to use, but you know, a lot of these guilds may be like Avocado, Yield Guild Games, that sort of thing. At the end of the day, you know, they want to make money. And I might be wrong by saying, you know, that they're partnered with you to make money, but how are guilds going to be working with Big Time?
Guilds and Big Time are probably a little bit, they've got a little bit more in common with the Web 2 version of guilds as opposed to the Web 3 one. So guilds, in my mind, are preset, pre-built communities of people who play together. And while their kind of backgrounds and maybe their goals are a little bit different, they are a pre-built community, and Big Time is kind of best played with other people. So I work with guilds of a whole bunch of different sizes, because if we can kind of bring in a guild to start trying out and playing Big Time, then they've got other people to play alongside with. And that's the exciting part. So, but guilds are all, they're not a monolithic structure. Like, some of them are very into content. Some of them are like, hey, you know what? We just want to kind of extract out of the game or something like that. So I try and be able to be a point of contact for them if they have any questions. And then to like help them understand the game or onboard their players, really just be that main kind of inside Big Time person to help them out.
Fantastic. And it reminds me a little bit, I might be wrong, there's a game called New World, which I sometimes play. And in there, the guilds, you can join them, and they own, you know, they can battle for different cities and different areas and sort of have control within certain places, you know, within the map. This huge sort of world within New World. Will that sort of gameplay be within Big Time? So, for example, the BSC News NFT Guild, you know, if we had a lot of people playing with us, could we, you know, perhaps, you know, be a force to be reckoned with? And I don't know. What are the utilities that players within a guild can benefit from? Are they going to have, you know, easier matchmaking? Are they going to be able to have their own little flags on certain regions or something? What can guilds sort of expect within Big Time? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's probably best understood if you kind of describe what I think guilds will end up doing inside of Big Time. A big part of why people bought space is because you're going to have this ability to rent it out to other players. Like, you know, we mentioned Avocado, right? They've got, let's say, 100 space. That's just a made up number. But there's, you know, one person at Avocado can't possibly play the game enough to occupy or kind of fulfill the full capability of that space. So they're going to want to rent it out to some of their players in their community. And so, when they rent it out, some player out there who perhaps can't afford all that space, or, you know, grinds the game kind of on their own, and they're like, okay, well, I'm going to be able to kind of collect tokens and forge some stuff on my own, and I'll take care of that space while you're out there. And maybe they do it kind of cooperatively with other people who are a part of that Avocado Guild. Why? Because you can level up faster and drop rates are higher when you play with other people. So there's kind of increasing returns to cooperative gameplay in Big Time. So that's kind of what's different. That's how I think the experience is going to look. And then there's obviously a big kind of competitive aspect to it, with the whole race to create the unique every 90 days. We want communities to kind of value the ability to, like, you know, advertise and promote that they were the ones, they, of all the communities out there and of all the people playing the game, they were the first ones to make that cosmetic in a 90-day period, that one of one that really shows, hey, they've done something unique inside the game. So that's a big part of how I think the kind of community and social aspect of how guilds need to operate inside of Big Time.
Very exciting indeed, and I do look forward to, are you still doing the the live stream sort of cooperative things where you know, projects or people will be able to sort of come on live stream with you and you'll talk through Big Time. Are you still doing that?
I'm sorry, it kind of broke up there. What was
sorry?
That?
So I remember it was quite a few months ago. I used to tune into quite a lot of live streams where you'd have projects or individuals on where you'd be talking through the game and sort of playing it on a live stream at the same time. Are you still doing that now as well?
We do. I mean, people were doing that before kind of on their own. They were, depending on which kind of videos you were seeing, they were not really, they weren't being paid by Big Time, unless it was from the Big Time Twitch. But we still do some of that. For example, we did this pretty big patch that came out yesterday, on Friday last week. And we had our community manager get on stream, play with some other kind of internal, some kind of prominent players within Big Time, and then walk through some of the updates that included showing off the space, some of the new levels, some of the new content that's out there, some of the new user interface things. And so we'll still do that, and I think we'll keep doing that in the future to kind of make it easier for new players to get onboarded, and then as well for people who perhaps try the game, play the game for a little bit, and then aren't as familiar with some of the updates coming out. They could be like, oh, these are new features that came out, and be cool to kind of check them out. So I think we'll keep doing that.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, we're going to keep on streaming it at BSC News, and obviously when we do, we'll let you know as well. And to all the listeners as well, we are giving away, which is very kind of Big Time, a number of Ruby passes. So you'll be able to jump in the game with us. So what I'd like to do is, you know, give away these Ruby passes and then for you to join the game with me. Because as Big Time says, the game is so much better if you're playing with other people. You can find people really, really easily though within the game. So I often just load in there, you know, not telling anyone I'm going to play. I'm not, you know, not like I'm playing it in secret or anything. But, you know, it's very easy to find people online, just on the chat system that they've got there. But it's good, you know, if we were to, you know, get a group beforehand. And scrolling back a little bit more as well, what you were saying about guilds, you know, what they used to be. I'm certain that Discord groups used to be called guilds. It used to be a lot more specific for gaming. And Discord groups, used to be, you joined this guild within Discord. But I don't know. Yeah, that just took me back a little bit. But we will be giving away Big Time Ruby passes, which will allow you access in the game, and we'll be able to play as a group. More details about that will be released very, very soon, but to get your hands on them, this is what you'll need to do, well, as soon as you can, really. There will be more details specifically, but for the moment, please do join all of Big Time's social channels, and also follow them on Twitter. The best way to do that is just to click their Twitter profile, which is right next to mine. Do turn on the bell as well, because by turning on the bell, you get to hear the news right away and first, not just what Twitter wants you to hear, but you'll specifically hear them. So do turn on the bell as well as follow them, and join their socials as well. Join our socials and follow as well. Our Discord is discord.gg/BSCNewsNFT, which can be accessed again just by clicking on our Twitter, our little Twitter profile, and going through all the links there. But more details about that will be released soon, and we will be live streaming it. I might actually try to do a live stream this evening, which will be broadcast on our Twitter, and I'll give you more details there about how to earn a Ruby pass. But honestly, Big Time, I'm really, really impressed with what you're doing. As I said sort of earlier, in the space, there's a handful of Web3 games that I keep coming back to just because they're fun. And I think I can comfortably say, you know, I've played over 100 Web3 crypto games. And yeah, Big Time, as well as a few others, I do keep on coming back to just because of the quality of game and what you've got planned for the future as well, and what you've released on your Medium, specifically about the lands and upcoming features are really, really exciting indeed. So yeah, I mean, very good times ahead. Is there anything that I've not, I know that, yeah, that this chat has been, you know, quite in depth and a discussion about the sort of differences between Web 2 and Web 3 games, but is there anything that I perhaps not brought up that you'd like to mention before we say cheerio?
Sorry about that. Had a fat finger on the microphone there. I think we've hit it all. What I will say is, if you send a DM to this account right now that says BSC News, and you send me your big time username and email, we're going to go ahead and we'll give you access into, in addition to the other Ruby passes that I think you're going to be giving away on stream or later on. So it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. And fully support Binance BSC News here. We've done some collections with Binance previously, and we've done some streaming through Binance as well. So it's been a pretty productive relationship so far, and happy to kind of keep giving out the news.
Most certainly. Thank you very much. So, listeners, yeah, you heard that. So if you want to access Big Time and the game and be able to play with me on stream, just send Big Time a DM just saying BSC News, or you know, a bit more polite than that, maybe like, hello, my name's blah, blah, blah. I was in the, you know, Twitter space, whatever. But do make sure to join all of our socials as well, because that is where you'll be able to hear, you know, when we're going live and the other Ruby passes that perhaps, you know, your friends might want as well. And we can all go on there as a gang of friends, because it's better played with friends. But once again, thank you very, very, very much, Big Time, for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And I hope we can do this again in the future, because I'm really genuinely excited about the developments that you've got in the pipeline. But thank you very much for your time, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I look forward to chatting with you guys again soon.
Fantastic. Thank you very much again. And listeners, thank you as always. Bye-bye. Have a great day. Bye-bye.